speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Would you accept a commission that you knew was going to cause hatred for you? That's what these apostles did. Jesus said, they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And in hating me, they've hated the Father that sent me. And so you needn't think that because you're going out into the world with a strong commission, even miraculous works to prove the things that you say, that the world is going to approve you. They're not going to do it. The teaching of the Lord is opposite to the world. And so because of that, the world objects to it. The world says, I'll not have the teachings of the Lord. I know what I want to believe, and I know what I'm going to say. And so I'm not going to listen to the Lord. Yea, I will even fight that which he says and refuse to do it. The Holy Spirit brought the truth to the world. He delivered that truth so that all of us might know the one way of truth, and that we might all have the same body of truth, and that we might all walk by the same rule and be governed by the same thing. We began last Lord's Day a series of lessons on the work of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. Does he indeed dwell directly and personally in a Christian? All of these questions we want to deal with in these studies that we're making. Indeed, it's right that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, because he came to the apostles as the one who would take the Lord's place. When Jesus had completed the work he came to do, then Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Or, as the original word is, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you without something to guide, strengthen, and care for you. The Comforter here, he said, was the Holy Spirit. And the Comforter being the Holy Spirit, coming to them for the purpose of directing them into the truth, they have recorded for us all truth, bearing witness to the truth, as the Holy Spirit also bore witness. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ from the baptism of John, when in Acts 1 we find them about to choose someone to take Matthias' place. They had to have someone who had been an eyewitness of the Lord from the beginning, from the baptism of John. You and I are not witnesses of the Lord. Nobody in this time and day in which we live is a witness of the Lord. They have a misstatement on that matter when they state, I am a witness of Jesus Christ, or I am a witness of Jehovah. You couldn't be if you wanted to be. Because to be a witness, you had to be an eyewitness. You had to see those things from the baptism of John. Now, we're not witnesses in any sense, but we do trust what the witnesses have brought before us. Remember, there are two witnesses here, the Holy Spirit and the apostles. At the mouth of two or more witnesses, the Old Testament says, and it's brought over into the New, a thing shall be established. Hence, we have the New Testament established. Because every word is backed by the witness of the Holy Spirit and of the apostles, who were taught directly by the Lord and now have delivered this truth to us all. The Bible teaches us everything that is needful and necessary to know about the Holy Spirit. There is not anything that anybody in the world knows about the Holy Spirit except what is in the Bible. Many people seem to think themselves superior in their knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but when you begin to talk to them, they don't have any Bible to back up what they're saying. If the Bible doesn't state it, I don't know it about the Holy Spirit. I do not believe the Bible is to be blamed for the confusion, the misconceptions, the difficulties, the superstition concerning the Holy Spirit of God. But when we come to the Holy Spirit and His work, His mission in the world, many people refuse to study the Bible about it. They say, I already know what I believe and what I feel, and so I'm not going to look at the book. My friends, until we do, just as in the case of those who refuse to study marriage, therefore they don't see what the Lord has said, those who refuse to study the Holy Spirit in His work will not understand either and will not bring forth the teachings the Bible has given us. So in understanding these things, let us refer back to some things already established. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just an influence. He's not just an it. He is one of the three of the Godhead. And He is always referred to with personal pronouns in the masculine gender, singular number, it's never her, it's never she, it is always he. In John 14:17, there we find the Bible saying, the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, and he abideth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Jesus is here making a promise in John 14. He said in verse 16, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive. Maybe we should momentarily look at the phrase, whom the world cannot receive. To say that you cannot does not mean that you're not able to, but it means that you refuse to sometime. And here is what it means here. The reason the world doesn't know and behold the Spirit of God through the truth is because they will not. They refuse and reject to receive the truth revealed. And because they reject it, they reject the Spirit who gave it. And rejecting the Spirit who gave it, they reject the Lord and God who made it in the first place. Remember Paul said in Galatians 1:8-9, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek the favor of men? If I yet sought the favor of men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. Then again in 1 Peter 4:11, Peter said by inspiration, if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. John 14:15-16, please always remember, are spoken directly to the apostles. I've heard men rant and rave and try to apply these things to us today. They do not apply. Not except in the things that are general in their nature. John 14:15-16, where the Holy Spirit is promised as a witness, where he is promised to guide into all the truth, where he's promised to bring to their remembrance the things which they shall hear. All of these things are directed to the apostles, and only confusion can result in anyone who will not accept that truth. But he is always referred to as a masculine gender, and that's very important. In John 16:13-14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things which are to come. In the two verses, there are 9 references to the personal pronoun he. He is a person. He is not just an influence. But in 1 John 5:6-7, it says, the Spirit is the truth. By this, he means the instrument by which the Spirit operates is the Word of God. He said of Jesus in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By which it means the truth is the instrument by which Jesus works. In John 17:17, when Jesus prayed to the Father, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, instrument through which Jesus and the Holy Spirit work. For thy word is truth. We cannot receive Christ apart from the Word of God. We cannot receive God apart from the Word of God. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit apart from the Word of God. Now, none deny that the Spirit dwells within the Christian, but some think it is a personal direct indwelling. The Bible does not so teach. But Jesus declared that the Spirit gives something. What does the Spirit give? In John 6:63, he said, the Spirit giveth life, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. In other words, the words are the source of spiritual life. If a man has spiritual life, he does not obtain it out of the air. He does not obtain it by what he feels. He does not obtain it by what his opinion is. But he obtains it from the Word of God. The Spirit gives what? The Spirit gives life. How does he give it? By words. In John 6:66-69, the words of Jesus were rejected by those people. It says, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus turned unto the 12 and said, will ye also go away? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now watch it. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Children of God are said in Romans 8:14 to be led by the Spirit of God. As many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But how does the Holy Spirit lead the children of God? In verse 1 and 2 of Romans 8, he explains what he's talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk, live, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Children of God are led by the Spirit of God, by and through the Word of God, and in no other way. Now, my friends, we should keep clearly in mind what the Holy Spirit was to do for the apostle, because that's the key to understanding all else. It was not before, but after Christ returned to the Father that the Holy Spirit was to be given to the apostle. No, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit before Christ returned. In John 14, verses 16 through 18, we find the Bible speaking to us and saying, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you or give you, the apostles, another comforter. And he, five times used here, may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, and he abideth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you desolate, I come unto you. Remember John 16:13? He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak. All because of the human element of forgetfulness, because of the importance of salvation, the Holy Spirit is given for the purpose, first of all, of bringing to their remembrance all things that Jesus had taught them in his personal ministry. John 14:26, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Here we find also in Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20, when you stand before the council and the kings, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the selfsame hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. So, to bring to their remembrance all things, to guide the apostles into all truth, their minds are immersed in the power and teaching of the Holy Spirit. They were to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power, until they be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so this immersion of their minds directed them into the truth. They brought all things, or he brought all things to their remembrance. The Holy Spirit guided them into all truth, and they were able to speak without thinking beforehand of the content or the manner of what they said. This is a wonderful blessing that came to them. We can trust what they say. We know that when they speak, as the Holy Spirit guides them, that heaven's will is pronounced. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Loosed upon earth is loosed in heaven. And he who would speak only the things that Christ spoke, that is the will of God. That's the only thing we can bank on. And the Holy Spirit spoke not of himself even, but whatsoever he heard, these things he spoke. Through the apostles then, he bore witness to Jesus, to his teaching throughout the world. In John the 15th chapter, verse 26-27, we find there that he speaks of that witness which he would give, as we read this morning. He brought forth that not only the Comforter would come, whom the Father would send, the Spirit of truth, to witness to these things, but also, he said, the apostles are witnesses of these things also. The apostles spoke by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 13:10-11, when they lead you to the judgment, deliver you up. Be not anxious beforehand what you shall speak. Whatsoever shall be given you is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Then again, in Luke 12:12, he said, and they, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, be not anxious how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what ye ought to say. In noticing this, then, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, delivered truth unto the world, brought all things that are necessary to life and godliness to the world. But remember, for the Holy Spirit's special work in the realm of the scheme of redemption, His was not to make the plan, not to even execute the plan, but His was to deliver the plan. And they would come, or He would come, rather, after the departure of our Lord. He did not come unto them until that time. In the 7th chapter of the book of John, a prophetic utterance is rendered concerning Pentecost. In John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man is athirst, let him come unto me and drink." He didn't mean a physical thirst, because they'd already had that satisfied. But he's talking about a spiritual thirst. Matthew 5:6, Jesus has said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." Now, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, this is speaking that of the fact that from the lips of those whom the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost came forth the Spirit of truth, the refreshing, enlightening truth that came from heaven. He said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not now, but on the day of Pentecost it began, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they spoke forth the words that would let men never to thirst or hunger again. Then in verse 39, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Then when did the Holy Spirit come on the apostles? It was after Jesus ascended. And what was his part in that? It was upon those who believed. Now, when we see the ones he is speaking of here, the apostles, then we understand because of whom it came on, what was transpiring. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, the apostles, were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house wherein they were sitting, cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when we turn back to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, we learn that the words "they that believe" are used again for the apostles. "These signs," verse 17, "shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." He's not speaking to everybody. He's addressing the apostles directly here. Them that believe were the ones whom the signs followed, and those were the apostles. In Acts 11:17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift that he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God?" Here, Cornelius and his household had been converted. The Spirit had come upon the apostles, and he called them there, those that believed. He wasn't talking of general believers, but those who were the eyewitnesses of the Lord, who went forth as his witnesses. In John 16:7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him unto you." And so he's not there as yet with the apostles. Until Jesus ascends on high, they do not have the blessings flowing from their bellies as living water until the Holy Spirit comes upon them on the day of Pentecost to inspire them. Now, the mission of the Holy Spirit to the world is simple. It is to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment. It wasn't to be a bellboy to everybody that came around wanting something of the Spirit. You know, it's peculiar, some of the statements that you can hear about that. One man said out in Odessa, Texas, on public television, "I don't wonder if the Holy Spirit dwells personally and directly in me. He enters into me every time before I preach. Entered into me in my motel this afternoon." And he's a teacher in one of our schools. That's pathetic to me. He needs to go back and study the basis of the Holy Spirit. Here we learn the mission of the Spirit was to convict the world in respect of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment, John 16:8. Do you know how he did that? Well, certainly we know how he did it. That's no problem to learn. When you simply ask, how does the Holy Spirit work? How does he accomplish his work? Ask how he convicted the world of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment. And then go back to the second chapter of the book of Acts and learn how he did it. They all came together, the apostles in one place. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled with the Spirit. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit indeed did what the Lord wanted him to do. Peter preached. And would you believe that these people were pricked in their hearts by the Holy Spirit? Was it in a direct manner? No. How was it then? It was through the preaching of Peter. When they heard these things, the Bible said, they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out, men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? You say, I thought the Holy Spirit was going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment. He did. How did He do it? Through the words which the apostles spoke. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now the Holy Spirit speaks to these men so that they can speak to us. He always speaks plainly, expressly, by words. You won't ever find them having any other thing said of them except they heard what He said. And in every instance, it's exactly what the Spirit wanted said. It is concise. It is no misunderstanding in it. In Acts 20, verses 22-23, when Paul is told about the difficulties that would befall him at Jerusalem, it was said unto him that those things the Holy Spirit had said to him, and he understood them clearly. In chapter 2 of Acts 6, or Acts the second chapter, verse 5 and 6, the people who were gathered on that day heard what the apostles said by the Spirit. And they understood in their own language. It wasn't anything that could not be understood. In 1 Timothy 4:1-4, the Spirit speaketh expressly, Paul said, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. On the day of Pentecost, indeed, the Holy Spirit operated on these people, as He did in every instance of conversion. He convicted them by the preaching of the Word of God. He convinced them in their hearts that indeed this was the truth by the preaching of the Word of God. And by the hearing of the words each could understand in his own language. Therefore, when they heard these things, they said, Sirs, what must we do? And Peter said, You'll have to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Remember, it's the law of the Spirit of life, which is the truth, that delivers us and makes us free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. And Jesus said in John 8:32, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen to me, my friend. Without the revelation of the Spirit, you'd be as blind as a bat about what tomorrow holds. You can talk all day about the Lord leading you directly or the Holy Spirit directing you by urges and nudges, but you still don't know one thing about heaven without the Bible. You don't know one thing about hell without the Bible. You don't know one thing about grace without the Bible. You don't even know about Christ without the Bible. You don't know one thing about the Holy Spirit without the Bible. Don't throw it away. But know this first, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 20-21, that no prophecy of Scripture, no teaching of the Scripture is of any private origin. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1:70, when we find Zacharias speaking of the horn of salvation, he said he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. In Acts 1:16, brethren, it's needful that the Scripture should be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spake before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was guide unto them that took Jesus. The Holy Spirit spake by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken through the chosen men commissioned by God. And so the only truth we have is right there. The new birth, you know, is of water and Spirit. When Nicodemus came to the Lord, he found out what was essential to entering into the kingdom. He didn't learn it some direct manner from the Holy Spirit. He learned it by the preaching the Lord did. Jesus said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said, how? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people say, that's two births. Here's a birth of water and a birth of the Spirit. Wrong. One birth, but it has two elements involved in it. There's the Spirit to teach what a man must do, and there's the water that He has taught man to consummate a birth out of. It's the same as the words of the Lord in Mark 16:15 and 16, Go into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, there's the Spirit's work to deliver what to believe. And is baptized shall be saved. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Notice, if you will, he didn't say into one Spirit were we all baptized. He said by one Spirit. In other words, by one Spirit's teaching. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. In Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27, he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for it, that he might cleanse it and sanctify it by the washing of water by or with the Word. Without the Word, water would just be water. But when the Holy Spirit's message tells you that water is the means of by which God will forgive your sins, and wash them away in a birth of water, then that burial must be taking place before a man knows the forgiveness of his sins. Now, the gender of the Spirit, as I introduced in the beginning, is certainly important here. It's important because it determines the position of the Spirit in conversion. The Spirit is the truth. He brings forth the truth so that all men may know it. And all life, you know, is in the seed. God fixed that from the beginning. Without a seed, there is no life. Anybody who knows anything knows that. But the seed of the gospel, revealed by the Holy Spirit, has to be germinated, has to be planted in man's heart. Before it's going to bring forth any fruit, it must be preached. It cannot be gained in any other way. No proper obedience can be had until the Spirit's truth is put in the heart of man. Just like the seed of corn has life within it, the gospel has life within it. What's the begetting of the Bible? 1 Corinthians 4:15. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Did he say we'll just sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to work on you in some direct personal manner? No. He said, I preached the gospel to you so you could have the begetting, the planting of the seed. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25, seeing you purified your hearts and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In James 1:18, of his own will begat he us, by the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. How wonderful it is to have the truth. Let us never disparage of it. Let us study it to show ourselves approved. Obey it in order to be saved. For if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Tonight, we'll discuss the gift of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit dwells within the child of God briefly, and then develop that more in a later time. Now, what has the Spirit done for you? Has he appealed to you? Has he begged you, pleaded with you to come in obedience to the will of God? You know, in Revelation 22:17, he said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride does it through the preaching of the gospel. The Spirit does it through the message they preach. And he's pleading with everyone who is adrift in sin and ungodliness to come to the Savior where salvation can be found. When simple trusting obedience to this word of truth delivered through the apostles by the Holy Spirit is given, then men can have the blessings of God and Christ to be with them. My friends, in all of these things, there certainly must be that word of truth. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How blessed we are to have the source of spiritual life. If you today do not have that spiritual life, you can obtain it by the hearing of God's Word, the belief of it with all of your heart, the repentance of your sins, the confession of the name of Christ, the burial in water in the appointed way, washing of water with the Word, that you may be made a cleansed, sanctified person. You'll come forth a new creature in Christ, but then you may turn away. You may turn back from the book divine and its guidance, the Holy Spirit's directives to the world again. Then you must repent of those sins Pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. But it's all centered in this book. If you would hear the voice of the Spirit this morning, you'll have to look right here. The only place you can find it. You'll never locate it anywhere else. And my friends, why not obey it? Base your trust on this. Jesus said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man."